Larry Cordell. Larry is down at Spigma, down in Nashville, where, from all accounts, the weather is gorgeous. And he had said, call me around 2 o'clock Nashville time, 3 o'clock my time. So in about an hour, Larry will run away somewhere with his phone, and we'll talk to him a little bit about this great new album, All-Star Duets. It's doing very well, and it should. Great collection of tunes, and Larry's brought in the best of the best to sing with him, and it's a wonderful, wonderful bit of music that he's done. I would recommend this to you. If you're listening at all and you happen to be in Nashville, maybe you're just starting to get up on Saturday, and you're thinking, well, you know, it's time to get out. Oh, look, there's Larry Cordell. And you see him in about an hour. In about an hour, he kind of gets away by himself on the phone. Take a picture of him, because that'll be him talking to me, and email it to me, stevemartin@unrealbluegrass.com, stevemartin@unrealbluegrass.com. And you can be like my roving reporter. It'll be like my bureau chief in Nashville for the Larry Cordell interview. It's going to be hard to find him. I know he's there. We set this up about a week ago. But when you're in a live thing and Spigma's all around you, I think we'll catch him and we'll chat for a bit about All-Star Duet. If I pushed all my buttons and all my dials correctly, I got the man, I got Cord on the phone, Larry Cordell. You still there, bud?
I'm still right here, Steve. Yeah, hear from you.
You're good. Yeah, it's good to hear from you, too. We were, I was casting some lines earlier. I figured I'd give it a couple shots, and I know you're busy down at Spigma, which means days are nights and nights are days, and I figured I'd give you a little more time and just kind of reel you in a little bit later in the program.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for being patient with me there. You know, we kind of had a late last night, so I'm going to go back tonight, so there's a good crowd out there, and there's a lot of bluegrass going on in Nashville today.
Oh yeah, bunch of, which is good to know that everybody still gets together and celebrates with Spigma, and it's one of the biggest events. And I bet you're quite busy once you hit the area down there in the hotel. I bet you're probably every room and moving around doing all sorts of things with the background that Larry Cordell has. I'm just telling the people that are listening, you know, as a songwriter par excellence, the best, the band leader, a singer. You have all kinds of people that want a piece of you, Larry. I'm so thrilled to get you on the show for a while today.
Oh, I'm happy to do it, Steve. I mean, you know, we appreciate you all out there, all the disc jockeys and all our fans for spinning our records and letting us hear from them and stuff. It means the world to us. And Spigma's a good time usually to see people, too, because it's a giant family reunion is what I call it. We see people, I see people at certain times, and it's the only time of year I get to see them, you know, so I enjoy it so much.
It's funny that you mentioned that, Larry, because people think that, oh, you're a bluegrass performer and you see everybody, but normally you'll get to a place if you're at a festival and play, and somebody might be on the same bill, but you might be gone before they get there, or they might be gone. So it is kind of events like that that lets people like you kind of reminisce and get together with people that you might write songs for or record with, but it's not like you guys all stay in the same bus.
No, we don't get to visit a whole lot. I mean, every band at Bluegrass festivals now, well, they've always been kind of, but even more so now, there's so much competition between, it's a friendly competition, but it's, you know, there's competition for record sales, and people are trying to work their own band, and they're trying to sell records, and they're trying to meet with either DJs or fans or whatever the case may be. So we don't get a lot of time to visit with folks at festivals like we'd like to. You know, sometimes you just like to sit down and talk to somebody for an hour or so.
Oh, yeah.
Occasionally we'll get on somebody else's bus or something, you know, and but usually we're just so doggone busy and wore out that we just don't get a lot of time to visit.
That's the feeling I get from having people like you available to talk about it. And I always like to kind of explore those parts of it. I will tell you what we've done already today, and I've been playing the new All-Star Duets. I've been playing cuts from it since the first time I could get my hands on it. But I will tell you that today already, we started off with Against the Grain, that led off the program, and then I played the Two Highways version with Alison Krauss, and I had a request for Rough Around the Edges, so I moved that up a little bit in the playlist. So we've already kind of milked that album pretty much for today because people wanted to hear it. And it's such I could play every cut on there, and every one of them is just great. And I want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, but I do want to focus a little bit on that All-Star Duets album because it's such a great, you know, you've taken all these great songs you've been involved with, and you've gotten all these great performers. And I like to know how you come to that decision to to put those things on there and get those. I mean, so many great. I mean, you can just name all the best of the best, and they willingly line up for you.
Well, I've been working on that a long time, Steve. I've been working on that album 10 years, and I don't mean, just so the listeners won't be confused, I don't mean every day for 10 years I worked on it, but this, I came upon the idea of it. I kind of needed to put a new album out at the time these tracks were cut, and I thought, you know, it's probably time for me to do some sort of greatest hits thing. But I didn't want to take just songs from various projects and put them, couple them together and put them out. I thought, if I could call these people that made my songwriting career, maybe, I thought if I called 10 or 12 of them, maybe I could get two or three of them to do it, to agree to it. So I called Kenny Chesney's producer, and I've known Kenny since he was just a kid. When I first came to town here, you know, and I called Buddy Cannon, and I said, Buddy, here's what I'm thinking about doing, and you're the first guy I called. I don't even know if I can pull this together, but do you think Kenny would be willing to do this? And he said, I'm just sure he would. He said, I'm going to see him tomorrow. I'll ask him. So I was in Florida. So once I got a good response from Buddy, I had an old phone number on Garth Brooks that I'd had from when he was in town. You know, he was living in Oklahoma. It was still a 615 area code, and it was still a Nashville number. I didn't even know if it worked. But, and I hadn't talked to him in maybe 5 years, you know. So I called his phone number. I got a message machine, and again, I couldn't even tell it was to him. It was a machine-oriented answering service. And I left him a message, and I said, look, I'm trying to do this CD, and I'm sorry I haven't talked to you in so long, and now I'm just calling you to ask you to do something. But I said, you know, if you would, if you think it's something you could do, if you could call me back, I'd appreciate it. And Tricia, I said, you know, Tricia, tell Tricia I'd like for her to do it too. And before I woke up the next day, I was in Florida, and before I woke up the next day, I had messages back from Kenny and Garth and Tricia.
Wow.
All saying that they would do this with me. And at that point, I mean, that was the very, very first germ of the idea. I thought, well, you know, I know I'm going to be able to get Ricky Skaggs to do it.
Sure.
And I know I'm going to be able to get Dale McCreary to do it, and I think I can get Alison Krauss to do it. And then I just thought of these other people that meant so much to my career, you know, and I started calling them. The tracks for this record, except for Murder on Music Row, were cut in 2004 with my road band at the time, which was Kristen Scott Benson, who plays with the Grascals now.
I love Kristen.
Yeah, she's a great player and a better human being.
She is a wonderful person.
It was her and Mike Anglin and Kim Gardner and Bowie Beach and Chris Davis. And then we cut these basic tracks, and getting the things done was not the issue, Steve. It was a lot of things happened that kind of got in the way of the record. You know, I didn't think through what might happen with having 12 or 13 big country stars on this project. As anybody who knows anything about the music business would know that, none of these people had anything to gain from this project. I was the only one that had anything to gain from it. But their record label and their management and their lawyer and their anybody that could get their hand over in it to try to foul the process up did so. And how they did that was they just wouldn't send the releases back. They could just put me off since I was kind of a nobody really in that world. And it just kept dragging on, and then I went broke a time or two and didn't have the money to work on it anymore. And I became so disgusted with the whole thing that at some point I just thought, well, this is never going to get finished. And I was doing another album at Randy Coors' place, and he told me, he said, you know, you're going to have to get this All-Star Duets thing at, or this record that you've been working on. I didn't even know what it's going to be called then. It's been about 2 years ago. He said, you're going to have to get this stuff out and get this thing finished, you know. He said, I'll help you. He said, I'll help you, and we can do this, you know. We can get it done, you know. And I said, well, you know, I'm still having trouble with some of this paper. And one thing led to another, though. He encouraged me enough, so I got, we dumped all this stuff into his machines, and we started working on it, you know, in earnest. And we're able to get it finished, and we're able to get the legalities finally, after all these years, put to rest, you know, and was able to put the record out. So it's kind of the coolest thing I think I've done thus far in my career.
It's pretty cool, Larry.
These people meant, so, as you know, Steve, they meant everything to my career as a songwriter. And the fact that they would come and do this with me, take time out. I know how busy I am, and these people are so busy, it's murderous. And that they would come and do this with me is a very humbling thing for me. And I just owe them more than I'm going to be able to pay them. So I'm so appreciative for everyone that came and worked on this thing with me. And I'm appreciative that the fans and the folks out there seem to be receiving it warmly. I don't know how many people would have thought Garth Brooks could do a bluegrass song or
Travis Tritt
or any of these people.
They tore it up.
Travis Tritt, you know, is no bluegrass.
Oh yeah, sure. He's a banjo player. Yeah, I know.
And but a lot of these guys, I mean, you know, we know the obvious ones. We know Allison and Ricky and Dale McCurry are amongst the best in it, in our business. But, you know, most of the songs that I write, even though they were placed in another world as a rule, they still had that, most of them had that bluegrassy background, you know, because that's the way I was raised. And I used to laugh and tell everybody here, well, I disguise bluegrass with piano and drums, and that's the way I get cut. That's what we did.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. Tom Hall told me once on this program, and bless his heart, Dixie passed recently. Wonderful. Tom Hall, I asked Tom how did you get that album? You know, he was a huge country star. How did you get that album with Earl Scruggs cut and released? He said, we just didn't tell anybody it was bluegrass.
Yeah, if you don't use the word,
that's right.
It's a shame about that, you know, because the greatest musicians, and I don't say this lightly, but it's just the truth, the greatest musicians in the world are in this business.
You're right.
And every time a really great player comes along, these multi-instrumentalists that can sing their butts off and just, you know, and can play four or five instruments. We see them all the time, of course, so we're used to it.
Right.
Every time you get one of these guys in your band, you're not going to keep them long. Just as soon as these guys in town figure out you got somebody like that, they'll just offer them $500 or $600 a day, something you could never hope to compete with, and, you know, they're gone. And you can't really blame the players because they need to make a living.
Well, sure.
But, you know, bluegrass almost has this, and I thought for years how to defeat it, but I don't really know because I've never really seen anybody that didn't like it. They have this, people that don't like bluegrass or say they don't like bluegrass have this image of it that doesn't exist. And I don't even know where that got it.
I don't either. Early marketing, I don't know what the effort was. But here's the thing, Larry, if they see it live, well, then all of a sudden the lights go on.
They see how great these people can play and sing and the songs that they can write. And people are just in awe. I'm talking about big pop stars and stuff. These people are in awe of these musicians. They can't get over it that they can be that accomplished and be working in a field that has so little recognition in the world, you know. It's an uphill fight all the time, but, you know, it's one we love doing. And we may not have as many fans as some of these people obviously do, but the ones we have, I tell you what, it's humbling to me too, because they'll stick by you till you're dead. I mean, the people that come and see us, I mean, they just, there's nothing I wouldn't do for them, Steve. They've stuck by me for 25 years here, and I love that, you know. I know some of these people are personally, a great many of them, you know, that I can call their name. And bluegrass shows, you know how that is. You can get close to the artist, and the artist can get close to the fan. And I love that. I still do. I still love people. I love talking to them. I love when they come and visit with me, whether they buy anything or not.
I'll bet you when you're out playing, you may play, you know, some city, and then you go on down the road 100 miles or so. I'll bet you it's not unusual for you to look out and see a couple people that you just saw the night before in a whole different venue.
Happens all the time.
Because they'll follow you.
It's already happened to me this week. I played last night out here for a fellow we're going to do his show in Memorial Day weekend in Auburn, Alabama. And there were some folks that were coming to see me on Thursday night because I played at the Station Inn. So I saw them again, and then they're like, "Hey, we're going to see you in May."
Yeah.
So it's a great thing to know how loyal people are to what we do, and they're encouraging to us always. You know, I hope you keep writing some of them songs like that. Well, I mean, honestly, it's the only thing I know how to do, so if I'm going to write anything at all, it's probably what it's going to be. So, you know, and I'm happy to do it. It gives me the want to come up with more of that stuff, you know, so I can try to continue to put out new music and things that people expect out of me. My worst fear is letting some of my fans down. I don't want to do that. I want to. As long as the good Lord lets me be able to do this, I want to do it.
Well, I mean, you've been doing it at a high level for a long time now. You talk about some of these songs. I know some of the songs that are on the All-Star Duet you wrote a long time ago, as you've mentioned. But you've always had that quality and with your own band, Lonesome Standard Time, you've always had great original tunes within there that maybe didn't, you know, find their way over into other types of music, but you've always written good songs, Larry, so everybody knows if they come and see you, they're going to see more of that every time they show up.
Well, I think, Steve, I mean, I've really worked hard at it, I've tried, and you know, the good Lord seemed fit for me to have these songs some way to play for these people, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for it. I think it's what He meant for me to do. And He's the one that deserves credit for it. I'm not that smart. I couldn't have done that on my own.
Well,
God puts these people in your life that make a big difference to you. And when I came here, I had a number one record already, but that was because I knew the guy. And I was pretty green, you know, and these guys took me aside, and they were willing to spend the time with me to tell me what I was going to have to do if I wanted to survive this and I wanted to stay here. And a lot of it I listened to. And I definitely took everything in that these people, my mentors, Jim Rushing and Larry Shell, and these people that I watched their careers and I watched how they did, how they came to work every day, and just like a man going to any other job. And they tried every day. They might not have got it every day, but they was in there slugging it out for it. And it just, it means the world to me that I got the opportunity to do this. And I want to continue to do it for as long as I'm able. I still have a fire in my belly for it. I still do.
Hey Larry, I've heard you talk about songwriting in many different venues, but correct me if I'm wrong, you might get like a piece of a song, a line of a song, but you may not finish it again for years until something else triggers it to go back. But it's not like you just wake up in the morning and sit down and write complete songs. You might sometimes, but sometimes don't you just have bits and pieces that you later find reason to pull them back in and finish it out?
Yes, I've got a cell phone full of them now because, you know, used to, which wonder I hadn't totaled 10 cars because I'd be digging around looking for something to write something down on, when I'm especially by yourself driving, you know, a lot of times you have, my world is loud and busy and things were going on all the time. So when you're in a car by yourself and you're isolated for 5 or 6 hours, or in the back of a bus or a van or whatever, sometimes you get your best things. Now you can just, you know, press record on your cell phone and it goes right in there, whatever you're thinking about. But I've actually had songs that we started writing years before. I just couldn't finish them.
Yeah.
Just every time we'd get together, maybe every who I was trying to co-write with, or even by myself, I just couldn't quite get it, you know. Occasionally, God just drops one out on you know, like Highway 40 Blues,
yeah,
that
man.
Early stuff. You know, some of that stuff just descended on me. And I was able to get them together. I found out while I was in college that some way I could piece songs together. I didn't really even understand it, you know. But I mean, I'll bet you if I looked hard enough, I'll bet I've got stuff back then that I didn't finish. I may someday. They're fragments of a thought process that was going on at that time. You never know when that may come to you, the rest of that.
Isn't that something?
So we used to always have these books and things we'd keep things in, you know. And some days you're just sitting with another person and you're looking for something to do. You look back through one of them old books. Or now, since everybody's got computers, you look at your Word file or like I said, your cell phone. You say, hey, what about this? I never could finish this. Well, a lot of times, you know, just telling somebody else, they'll have just exactly the right thing for that. And you'll be able to fashion that and make a piece out of it. And I always feel the same way when I write something that I think. I always look back at it and think, how in the world did we arrive at that?
if people are just tuning in, we're talking to Larry Cordell, which I appreciate so much. Larry, it seems to me, too, that, like you say, these songs that descended on you, Highway 40 Blues and things, but you have, over the years, in order to survive what you're doing, you can't just wait for those things to come to you all at once from whatever source. You have to learn the skill of songwriting itself, right?
You do, and... One of my mentors told me when I first moved here, he said, going to work one day, and I called and I said, I don't feel like it today. I don't think I'd be very good today. You know, I said, I don't have any inspiration for anything today. He said, well, you know, if you're going to work here, you're going to find out real quick this place is, 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration.
There you go.
And I was like, you know, I mean, a lot of people just don't understand that. They don't understand. I've had many people ask me in songwriting seminars and whatsoever, you know, well, I don't do that at all. I don't, you know, I get these ideas and they just come to me. When it comes to me, that's when I write. Well, you found out when you work here, you can't wait for it to come to you. You've got to go to it and try to do just the process of, and this is the reason we co-write so much, Steve. I'll tell you why.
Wow.
I do.
Sure.
I can write songs by myself. I've written many songs by myself. But if you need to have a specific time, whatever time you've got, whether it's every day, whether it's twice a week, whether it's twice a month, you need to make that specific time for you to go do that thing. Obviously, like everything else, the more time you can give to it, the better it's going to be. It's not some kind of magic that just occurs. Everybody that I know that's made a big living here, and I know some people that's made literally millions of dollars. I'm not one of them, but I've known some people that have. Some of that is luck and being in the right place at the right time. But the biggest part of it is the craft. I mean, these people don't turn anything loose until it's real good. Now, if you listen to commercial country radio right now, you wouldn't think that because the songs are not particularly good.
Right.
But this is a thing that will go away. and songs will be back in vogue. And that is people that are sitting down really trying to making sure every line, every how many syllables are in the words to go over the melody, all this stuff that goes into making a great song, you know. A great song, you hear it on the radio and you think, I could have done that. Well, that's the idea.
Yeah.
That's the idea,
yeah.
You know. It don't have a lot of throwaway things in it. It has things in it that, I mean, there's so many things that go into making a great song. There's no use me even trying to go into.
No, I appreciate what you're saying, because I think you're making the point that it's great to have these inspirational moments, and you need those. You need those all the time. But you also need to understand what you were told is that you need to go to work every day.
Them inspirational songs are a teaser God gives you to see how hard you roll.
I like that.
When you don't have anything.
I like
you know.
That.
Okay,
I
gave you this one. You're going to work for the other.
That's beautiful. That's a beautiful
thing. I feel it, boy. I do. I feel it, boy, you know, because there's times you're just there and you really just don't want to be there. You can't get your head into it or something. Then some way you have a brilliant thought or somebody else does, and the next thing you know, you're completely, the entire world is shut out. You're in this tunnel. And that's all you can think about. And you come home with a headache and you feel like you've been just completely beat to death. You know, you're just literally worn out from the process of it. And if it's emotional, then that's even worse, because you've likely been places you didn't necessarily want to go in your head. But those things are always therapeutic, and they're always worth doing, whether they're worth any money or not.
That's another question.
They're always worth doing emotionally.
Yeah. Well, man, we talked about the All-Star Duets, and I think we've covered, you know, how that process came about, that you wrote some of these songs. But I appreciate so much the fact that you allowed us to talk about the process of what you're so good at in the songwriting. That to me was just a really nice thing to get into. The album is great. It'll speak for itself. And we've talked about the fact of how you got different artists to come back and help you. And here's what you gave to them, Larry. You're saying I can never pay them. You gave them the opportunity to be on this album with Larry Cordell, who wrote all these great songs. That's why they responded so quickly.
Well, they were all so gracious to me. And, you know, I just know how busy they are, that they would take the time out to come and do this, you know, knowing there was probably no financial gain for them in this. It was just, I'm serious, Steve. It's just humbling to me, and I'm really proud, too, that when I listen to this record, it's hard for me to believe I got them all to come on here. You know, as I said at the beginning of this, when I got this idea, I thought if I called 12 or 15 people, I might get two or three. To have every soul that I asked to be on this record, with the exception of Alan Jackson, is on this record.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan would have probably done it. They were just so busy when I needed them to finish that, yeah, I never ever called back again. I just thought, you know, this guy's just crazy busy right now. And if I'd have waited it out, I could have got him too. But it worked out good, and I'm really just pleased with the record and pleased with the job Randy Coors mixed all this stuff, and it's just, I don't know, it's my finest piece of work to date, I think.
It's solid, man. It's solid. Let me ask you this, and this always say, what are you going to do next? I hate that question, but do you think you may have another volume of this type of duets out there in your mind, something you might work on?
No, Steve, I'm going to be honest with you. I won't ever attempt anything like this again. This will be a one-off for me, because the heartache of trying to deal with these different, there's so too many moving parts.
Okay.
It sounds like there would only be 12 or 13 people, and well, you know, I called all these guys directly. Some of them I probably wouldn't even have a phone number up and down. But if some of these people I saw at functions or something, you know, I saw Travis Tritt and Allison at Earl Scruggs' birthday party in 2007 or 2008. and told them I was doing this. You know, I was able to, I hated to ask them a little thing like that, but I knew I had several there.
Yeah.
You know, some of these people I didn't have to call, but when you're dealing with an art, you've already involved 5 or 6 or 10 more people immediately.
Yeah.
All the people around them have something to say about it. And it's just not worth it. It's just too much. I mean, I love this project. I love the fact that these people did this. But no, I won't ever attempt this anymore because, for one thing, I can't wait 10 years to make records. I have to. You realize I made 3 albums while I was trying to get this one done?
Is that right?
I made 3 separate albums while I was trying to get this one done.
You're a patient man.
And it just would have never gotten done if it hadn't been for Randy. You know, Randy just got in there and said, hey, I'm going to help you. We're going to finish this thing, you know. And he let me do it without keeping an eye on the clock and said, okay, well, you owe me $280 today or you owe me $600 today. I mean, you know, he let me do it as I could pay for it and do and kept it at the forefront of my mind, you know, which was a great thing because if I hadn't had that, I'd never got done, I don't guess. The next thing I'm going to do is a gospel album. But
Oh, nice.
I've got the stuff, I think, already. We're going to try to write some this week and next week. But I've got the biggest part of them. Some of them are things that I've just wanted to do. I've never had an entire gospel album.
Yeah, I didn't think you had. You always have some gospel music, but you have not had an entire album, I believe.
Yeah, well, it's just part of the fabric of us, you know, and I'm a Christian, and I want to do that. It's something I really want to do, you know. As good as God's been to me, I feel like I owe him one, so... If I didn't want to do it, I'd still want to do it for that, but I do want to do it, and I've got some good pieces that I think people will respond to, and I want to do a couple of old things for my dad, and I just, that's something, that's what I'm going to do next. That's what I'm working toward now. I hope to get started on that thing sometime this year.
Well, we're looking forward to it, and we look forward to great success from All Star Duets. I truly enjoy every cut on it, and when we get off
well,
here,
I thank you so much for spinning it for us, and thanks to the fans, you know, because I don't have a lot of money, Steve, you know, to buy advertising and stuff, and the world has got so, you know, that the print media world is not what it once was, so you have to know about the digital world now.
That's right.
It's hard to know what to spend money on, even if you do have it. So, you know, how bluegrass is a lot. It's kind of word of mouth, and then guys like yourself that get out here and dig through this stuff and play it for us. You know, they're your audience, there'll be some of them that will like it. You know, we'll hear from them, You know, if anybody wants to talk to me, I mean, you can just go to my website, just LarryCordle.com.
There you go. I was going to ask you about that before we left. Okay.
Yeah, you can just do that. That's my total information on there. It's got my email address and everything in the world on there. You know, I'm always happy to hear from the fans. I love talking to them. It keeps me honest and lets me know what to do.
Larry Cordle, man, I'm going to let you get some rest up. I know you got a long night once you get back to Spigma. It'll turn in the next morning before you know it. So.
Well, we'll be all right. I've got some more radio things to do today out
there. Oh, cool. All right.
I'm going to go out there this evening and see some other radio folks.
Well, good.
I'm happy to do it. I'm happy to be here.
Just keep doing it, Larry. I appreciate you so much. I'll run into you down the road here not too long.
All right, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, bud.
See you.
There we go. That was there's Larry Cordle. That is a remarkable individual. He's very humble. But Larry is a remarkable songwriter. Don't forget about his singing. If you hear this All-Star Duet, if you listen to the thing with Travis Tritt, I mean, they almost gut each other. I mean, their singing is just so powerful and so gutsy and has that kind of a blues feel that Travis lends to this stuff. Thanks so much, Larry Cordle. We're going to hear another tune from that All-Star Duet. I'm just going to go ahead and play you the song Murder on Music Row, which Larry wrote a long time ago. He re-recorded this with Daryl Singletary, and you're going to recognize this one right away. It was a hit everywhere. Thanks so much, Larry Cordell. Thanks for you all listening in, too. I appreciate it.